there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
I'm happy to be here.
We're talking a little bit about the city council meeting that happened earlier this week. Not a whole lot of items on the agenda, but the city is always busy with things that are happening. First, I wanted to talk a little bit about the public art that's being planned. Most people in downtown Morehead know that over the summer, the tree planters, the big giant tree planters that are down Main Street, were decorated and paint colors and patterns were chosen by some area children, including mine, including yours. And we had some really good times enjoying that art. So what's the next phase? What's happening next with public art downtown?
This is a really exciting project. We're working on the installation of multiple murals downtown. The discussion of murals has been going on for a long time, and we're finally seeing that kind of come to fruition. We put together a public art committee probably a year ago to work on some ideas and identify projects that would be good for the city in recognition of public art. And so the next step is the installation of the very first mural, which will go on the front of Pasquale's, over that kind of green metaling that's on the front of their building. We're going to have it installed there. It is a group called OSRS. They're actually muralists out of Louisville, Kentucky. And I met them at the ribbon cutting of the first container farm from App Harvest at the high school. They are actually the group that paints those and does a lot of mural work for App Harvest. So really happy to keep them in the area to continue doing what they do. We had a kind of unveiling or first preview of the design of the mural at City Council, and great feedback. We're really, really excited.
Can those of us who didn't get to attend the meeting see that unveiling? Is it available somewhere online?
Yes. If you go to the city's Facebook page, we actually show it on the video of our City Council meeting, and then we can post the graphic of where we're at with it right now. There'll be a few changes between now and when it actually goes up, but the concept will be the same.
That's exciting. And then what is the plan for the next one? Because I know that it's not a one and done thing. I know someone is planning for the next one to come around.
Yes, we're hoping to do three. And so we are narrowing down this spot that the next few will go on. We've already identified some artists to use, people that are, again, regional and have done work in the area and really love to see work in Appalachia. And so that was very important. We talked about at City Council if there was a theme to the murals. There's not necessarily a theme at this point because each artist has their own theme, but the overall concept is to really kind of promote Appalachia through these. And so we're excited to see that. Something else to mention on the first mural that's going up, the artist is partnering with Sawstone Brewery and also New Frontier. And so New Frontier is going to come out with a limited edition shirt that acknowledges the mural. And then Sawstone is going to have a special edition drink that is in collaboration with the mural as well. So really getting local buy-in and small businesses involved in this project.
That's very cool. Very cool. One of the further discussions after the mural discussion happened, the group talked about the bike and pedestrian plan. Phase one is beginning. And tell me exactly what is in the plan for that.
We had a great presentation from an engineering company that's been working with the Tourism Commission. And the tourism director, Joy Brown, is on several local as well as state-appointed boards for bike and pedestrian projects. So the concept behind this is creating bike or running, walking, stroller lanes, however you'd like to use it, on some of our most utilized streets. so that we can kind of share the roadway, so to speak, but it also really increases the livability of a community. So they identified three different areas that they'd like to see these bike lanes incorporated in, and that's what this engineering firm is doing, kind of coming up with that design and how to implement it. The next step is to kind of seek some funding. They have multiple avenues of funding that they're pursuing, but we really hope to see this continue to progress. I know that the group is going to make a presentation to the school board and talk with school officials, because one of the designs incorporates adding sidewalks and lanes around kind of that new school zone where they've moved the Board of Education to, as well as McBrayer, the middle school, and the high school.
There definitely is a lot of traffic up there. I've actually walked in that area quite often, and I mean, it's never really been an issue with like traffic plus pedestrians for me particularly, but I know other people, you know, I guess it kind of really depends on the time that you're up there.
Absolutely.
Now, there is a lot of construction happening in the county. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about the construction that you're actually in charge of, which is the new police and 911 dispatch center. The big trucks and machinery are out there on Main Street across from Walgreens, and there's a lot happening, and the City Council actually got an update from Paxton Walker during the meeting. Tell me a little bit about what's happening there.
Yeah, we have added a kind of regular agenda item to have updates from Pax Walker as well as CMW, the architects, on this project. And so they're moving right along. We're very excited to see that. We know that sometimes it creates some additional traffic and a mess on Main Street, but we are very pleased that the groups working on this continually clean it up throughout the day so that we're not leaving that there or, you know, making Main Street look any more messy than it has to be during a construction project. We are on track right now. They are kind of finishing up drilling into the ground, working on the retaining wall, which was the big first step. Hopefully we start to see some things go up soon.
And then to get into some of the building projects that are happening within the city, but obviously not under the city's purview, Starbucks. I've glimpsed it a couple times. As someone who lives and works in downtown Moorhead, I don't actually have to go to that end of town very often when it comes to going out towards the interstate, but I've seen that the new Starbucks location is underway. Do we have any updates on that project at all?
We do. They are on track to open in April. That is their plan. They're finalizing some of the interior design right now. So it's happening quickly, and you know, early summer, late spring, we'll probably see that open.
And then, of course, there has been a lot of discussion about the proposed new complex that the builders have said that they want to do across from Kroger, where the trailer park is at this point. And the last you and I had discussed about it, the land had not been sold yet. And nothing is finalized until that happens. But I hadn't heard where they are in that process at this point. And I don't know if you have either, but I figured I'd ask.
We don't have much of an update. The last notification that the city got was that they were in the final phase of closing on that project. So we know that it's still progressing. The city's involvement with that is pretty much finished at this point. We made the commitment to put money towards infrastructure if certain goals are met by the developer, but it is still a private sale, so we will not have any further involvement moving forward. I do know that the landlord has committed to providing money and assistance to people who need help moving. And I believe they announced that at the last fiscal court meeting.
Yes. And I know that there is a GoFundMe to help those people who won't be moving trailers and moving into new places. We've got a story about that later this week, actually. The city council has been preparing in a different way for the next year's budget. This past year, the year that we're currently in, obviously has been incredibly unexpected for everyone, but working with the municipality, obviously it's been very strange. Revenues are completely unexpected, much less than expected. There's weird grant money coming in from different places, and never enough to handle all the things that need to be handled to cover loss of revenue. And in planning a budget in a year where you actually have no idea what's going to come down has to be really tough for you.
It has been interesting. One thing that we're doing this year that's a little bit different from the past. The last 2 years, I had a budget committee made up of three council members. We met with each department. They came in and kind of presented what they would like to see reflected in the budget. And then myself and the committee worked together on a proposal for the remainder of council. This year, I'm modeling off of what some other cities do, and we're having budget workshops. So different days where the entire council comes together, departments come to all of us and make their requests and presentations, and then we put the budget together as a group. We're trying that this year to see how it goes. I just want as much input because of the unknown and kind of the flexibility we've had to accommodate with COVID and how it impacts a budget. I really want everyone's input from the very start so that I know what council would like to see reflected as well in the budget.
Now, at this point, is there anything particular or surprising, I guess, that has come up? I know that there were a few different things listed that needed to be talked about during the meeting as far as discussing the budget to talk about the Entertainment and Destination Center, for example. As someone who spent a lot of time on the closed down Bats and Oats this summer, tell me a little bit about where we are in that particular project.
At the budget workshop, council proposed a budget amendment, which we voted on at this council meeting. We had the first reading, but it increased the current year budget for the Entertainment Destination Center so that we can really put money towards developing that area. The past almost year, I guess, that we've been using it, it was kind of a trial phase for us. So you'll know that we put more folding tables and chairs out because it's what we already had and we wanted to see how it was utilized. So the council is putting money in to put more kind of permanent fixtures or at least some nicer setting. We actually looked at some different table and chair options at the council meeting. So we're moving forward with purchasing those. Hopefully we'll have those out there in the spring when it warms up. And then we're also looking at some different options for some more aesthetically pleasing barricades where the streets are blocked off. Right now we have gates up there, but we're looking at some large planter boxes actually, so we could have flowers and trees, some different plants down there, but also still make sure that it's known that the street is closed and blocked off in that area. So we're really looking at adding to the look of the area. We're exploring options of lighting. There's limited electricity on the street down there, so we may have to do some installation of that. And then we're also looking at restroom options. So whether that's porta potties or whatever we may need, we're trying to get a long-term plan to accommodate all of the needs for an outdoor area.
It's very interesting to see how that sort of comes together. I know it's something that people had discussed in the past. I mean, having that option, but it's interesting to me that in this pandemic, there are ideas that have been forced into existence much more quickly than originally anticipated, just because it's like, hey, we have this need and we have it now. And that's
Absolutely.
Really fascinating to me.
And, you know, you have to often look at the positives that come from a global pandemic, and this is one of them. You know, we've wanted to try this for a long time in the city, and so it gave us the opportunity to do that, to have a trial phase, and it was very successful. So we're excited about that. And then there's so many things that go into planning an area like this that most people don't realize, even myself. When we sat down to try to map this out, you know, you have to accommodate for deliveries for businesses that are in that area, for emergency services. If there's a fire, can our fire trucks still get through that area if they need to? There's so many different pieces of the puzzle. It takes a lot more time. So while it may seem that it's a slow project, we are constantly working on it.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. A story nearly three decades in the making. I meet Suave in 1993. He was sentenced to life in prison, but then everything changes.
I feel like I wear it on my shoulders. I know we ain't scored a touchdown yet, but we right there. We at the line.
That's this week on Latino USA. Saturday mornings at 7 on WMKY at 90.3 FM.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Mayor Laura White Brown from here in Morehead. Laura, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about the city council meeting that happened a little earlier this week. There was quite a few things discussed on, and one of the main conversations was about the budget for the upcoming year. A few things have been suggested, some changes and some things that may cost the city a little bit of money to make happen, and investments in some facilities, especially the splash pad. The city council is discussing possibly putting up fencing there.
Yes, I know that's something in the past that you and I had actually talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The original plan for the splash pad, I believe, did have a fence concept, but financing cut that out when it came down to it. We are putting money back in the budget for this current year to put a fence up. I believe they're going to start on that very soon so that it will be ready to go when the splash pad is able to be opened this year.
I definitely have a personal invested interest in having a fence around that facility. I have loved ones who really want to go, but they're special circumstances in which they would probably run into the creek given the opportunity. So I'm glad there's going to be a fence up, and I'm really excited about bringing some of the people that I love to the splash pad this summer. That's going to be awesome.
Well, good. We hope to have it open early spring, given COVID compliance. So we'll see what this summer looks like for the area.
Let's talk a little bit about the update on the US 60 property. I'm not really aware of what that is, and it's kind of vague on the agenda.
That is a piece of property that the city has been looking to acquire for a number of years. It started before I came into office. The initial thought for that property was to put a joint police, fire, and 911 center. It's property that the state actually owns, but they have said that they're going to convey that to us. It has to go through so many different cabinets in Frankfort that it has taken a very long time to get to this point, but I think we're at the end stages of acquiring that property. One of the thoughts for the area is that we will be able to put the future fire station there. We're hoping that that's what it can turn into. Of course, we won't know until further geotech work can be done on the property. But given our conversations with the state, as long as we use it for public use purpose, we'll be able to continue to utilize that property. And it's the area right beside the car wash on 60.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I'm not sure of the exact acreage of that property, but that is where we're at with it right now.
Okay. I remember us talking about that in the past, even in previous administrations. But before we run out of time here on the show, there's one thing that I did want to mention, because I know you won't mention it. You were named one of the most notable women in politics very recently here in the state of Kentucky, which I think is amazing, and I'm going to toot your horn for you. I know that there's a big discussion right now about women in politics. We have the first vice president that is a woman in the United States history. And the discussion, I mean, it's in the past, it used to be a boys' club that was a thing. And I feel like that's really starting to change. And women who are working in that particular sector are now getting some recognition where maybe they didn't before. How did you find out, and how does it make you feel to be recognized in this way?
It was a huge shock and surprise. I was very, very excited. I received a letter from the Kentucky Gazette last fall notifying me that I had been nominated and selected to be one of the women that would be presented with this. And so, huge, huge honor. I was joined by a few other women who are very involved with Kentucky League of Cities. So that was very exciting to see us put together in this group. And after I received the letter, they requested some information, and just this last month came out with a printed edition of the Gazette that had everyone's information in there. So an honor and still a shock. I can't believe that I actually have the letter where they notified me right behind my computer screen, because it's a nice piece of motivation and something to reference, and really an exciting time, you know, something that I can share with my daughter and with other women. So I'm really, really, truly honored and humbled by this.
It's a great time to watch the world change. So much has happened. You know, I was thinking the other day, just in the past year and in the past 5 years, you know, a lot of things have started to roll in a different direction. And it's a very interesting time to be alive, that's for sure.
It absolutely is.
Very quickly, I wanted to touch base on vaccinations. Those are starting to roll out to different groups within the community, and St. Clair and the Health Gateway District Health Department are both administering vaccines as they come in. How can people, I know that the city doesn't really have anything to do with it, but I know that you want to share with our residents where to get that information if you can.
You can contact St. Clair and they can either put you by phone on a waiting list, or they have a link online that you can sign up to be put on the waiting list, and then they call and notify you when they have a vaccine or an appointment available. People are still in different tiers as to when they can get the vaccine, but St. Clair is facilitating those for our area, not only our county, but for several surrounding counties. The rollout has been good. It continues to be very progressive for our community. So any questions, I would refer you to St. Clair, and they can get you on the list.
Excellent. And we do hope everyone in our community will all get an opportunity to get that vaccine, and we are all just waiting in line for that to happen. So I encourage people, and I know you do too, to get on those lists as soon as you get the opportunity.
Absolutely.
And on that note, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.